You'll do the move. You'll do the happy. I am so much oil.
Be afraid. Be very afraid.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of The Prototype. I'm Jamie J.J. Johnston, and I'm joined by... So, is the screaming thing your new thing? Like, that's just how you're going to introduce yourself from now on?
Yeah.
Anyway, what's your name?
I'm Mike. Otherwise known as Dodd.
Also known as the Birdman.
That is quite correct. So, this show, we've been trying to record for like a week... But it's been tornado week in Ontario. It has also just been me and Jamie just been really, really friggin' busy.
Well, as you guys know, I run a video game store, so I have just come into tons of stock lately. It's the summer, it's when I get everything, and I'm literally surrounded by video games right now. Like, my feet have Xbox 360 consoles pushing on them. Like, I just got way too much stuff, and my apartment's too small. And Dodd's been busy becoming Dodd.
Yeah, pretty much.
He's becoming more birdly.
Exactly. I've been wheeling and dealing in the background. Literally, I'm up to my neck in Ninja Turtle stuff. I'm actually hopefully going to be doing a review of the entire movie line of toys. Hopefully the next day, maybe two at the latest. I'm hoping to have it out by Saturday at the latest, tonight at the earliest.
What's that? You've got doubles and I should come visit you?
What? My wife is yelling no more turtles. Unfortunately, I didn't get a lot of doubles, which is unfortunate. I even have the new LARP turtles from the episode Mazes and Mutants of the new series. I even have the Neutralizer and Slash, too. So
awesome.
Yeah, I'm up to my ass in Ninja Turtle stuff. That's sort of my new obsession, which I do thank Jamie for.
Yeah, that's my fault.
Yeah, totally. So, now in this episode, we were originally going to talk about The Legend of Zelda, but...
We're so sorry, but basically, as some of you may know, if you're a fan of Eagle Raptor on YouTube, he has recently released a sequelitis about Zelda and the Zelda franchise, and as you all know, we were planning to talk largely about basically the subject he covered. So we don't want to, like, copy him very much. Like, we do want to talk about Ocarina versus Zelda Link to the Past like we originally had planned. But because of him recently launching that, we decided we want to talk about the more obscure Zelda games that people have either not played, haven't really heard about. And because of that, we need to do a little more research because... I'll be honest, I haven't even played any of the DS ones. A lot of the older Game Boy ones, I played them or, you know, didn't get too far in them. And I know, Dodd, you're probably the same, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So we'd like to do a little bit more research. We're going to be doing it. But for those of you that were like, son of a bitch, I got to wait for that Wind Waker HD. We're still going to give that away today. Well, not today giving it away, but we're going to do the contest today. So what we're going to do is we need you to go to our Facebook page, and this video, if you came to this video through the Facebook page, well, you'll know what to do right away and how to find it. Otherwise, if you came through the This Week in Geek website, it's facebook.com/twig or the.prototype. What is it? We'll put it in the description like always. I always forget what it is because I have so many damn Facebook pages. Anyway, so you'll have to like and share the video. This video that we're going to post. Or not the video. The podcast. It's a link that looks like a video, but shut up. Anyway, so you're going to like and share that. And then after you've done that, you're going to send a message to us via that Facebook page. And we'll let you know further in the episode. That way you can't, you know, just... listen to it here and then, you know, not listen to the rest of the show. So we'll tell you what you have to message us, maybe halfway through, maybe near the end. I don't know. We'll figure it out. And whoever, basically all the people that message us and have everything correct, they've liked and shared the podcast, You will have all your names thrown into a hat, and we'll have it drawn. And whoever is drawn will get the game. It's a download code for the Wii U, right?
Yeah.
So you'll be able to download the full Wind Waker HD, Zelda Wind Waker HD.
So enjoy that.
So yeah, and from what I know, the HD is basically the same game, but all of the things that are slow about it have been improved. So, and better graphics.
It's Purdy. We like Purdy.
Everybody likes Purdy.
You got a Purdy mouth. Anyway.
Oh, boy.
Now that we've gone there. So that brings us to today's topic. This one.
It's kind of out of left field, actually. Just kind of came up with it.
Yeah. Although, for me, it's very much connected to summer. This is how I spent the summer of 1996. We're going to be talking
about himself again.
I know, I'm so fucking old. But we're going to be
we're all old.
We're going to be talking about the PlayStation 1. I don't think I've talked about this before either with Handsome Tom or with you. If I have, well, too bad, you're getting double dipped.
I don't think we've done a show on it.
I'm 99% sure that we have, or at least nothing super in-depth. The PlayStation 1, for me, is a console that... I'm trying to remember how I got... I think I was gifted it, but I know I borrowed one for, like, a summer from, like, a friend of mine. Which, it's so weird, because I don't... I remember getting a PlayStation 2 in a very funny way. Although, PlayStation, I'm trying to remember how the hell I got mine. Jamie, why don't you go ahead first?
Well, my PlayStation 1, fairly sure one of my brothers picked it up first because of Final Fantasy VII and some other really good games. But basically, the Sony PlayStation, it is what broke my marriage. I lost my wife, and that was Nintendo. I'm sorry, but we had to part ways when the Sony PlayStation came out. We ended up getting a Nintendo 64 later on, but it just was not the same. The games just, it was all 3D and awesome, and Square Enix went with Sony, so we kind of went with that. I don't remember when we got it, because I'm horrible with dates, as I've said many times. I'm sure it probably wasn't at the launch, because my family wasn't huge into gaming. It was just me playing my Super Nintendo constantly. But when this came out and Final Fantasy VII came out, when did Final Fantasy VII actually come out? Do you remember?
I think it was 96, I want to say. 96, 97.
Yeah, so it'll be a year or two after the PlayStation actually launched. That's when we got it, because we were playing that and Final Fantasy VIII eventually.
Yeah.
See, everything is overshadowed by the fact that I was just playing Final Fantasy VII all the time. I know we had other games, but that's the only one I remember playing, because I played it constantly. Oh, actually, one of my favorite games, Suikoden, I first started playing on PlayStation, and Vanguard Bandits. They're two very, very good RPGs. They're very rare. Suikoden 1's not too rare. Vanguard Bandits is like an $80 game in the current market. Or higher, depending on his condition. Mm-hmm. But it's a phenomenal tactics RPG, kind of like Fire Emblem and Final Fantasy Tactics, etc. Uses giant mechs, because, you know, everything's better with mechs.
Of course.
But yeah, Final Fantasy VII was like one of the first games where you're just like, oh my god, look at the fucking graphics! This console's amazing! Because you went from a Super Nintendo to a PlayStation, and you just had your mind fucking blown as a kid. And nowadays, if you look at any of these games, you're just like, my eyes are bleeding. So, who is the competitors for PlayStation? It was obviously the Nintendo 64, and I believe the Dreamcast, right? But it came out a little bit later.
Yeah, the Dreamcast was 98, so you could say the Sega Saturn would have been a fairly close competitor, because it was a 32-bit system. Yeah. I guess you could even count the Sega 32X.
Even
the Super Nintendo, because they were still making them at that time, and they were still selling fairly briskly, but obviously the main competition was the N64 and whatnot, and Sony was a big deal, because obviously they were on CDs, which means they had 640 megabytes.
The games could just be so much larger.
You could have better audio for one.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just basically, it was, for all intents and purposes, a better system. Even a revolution when it came to the controller. I mean, if it weren't for the DualShock controller, which eventually came later, I don't know
There wasn't even a DualShock originally. I found one of the original controllers I don't even remember where I put it, but it didn't have the analog sticks. And it was, like, so dog bony.
Yeah,
it's kind of awesome.
I don't even remember what games I played on the original PlayStation. I think maybe Parappa the Rapper and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know where gaming would be today if we didn't have this particular controller type.
The Sony PlayStation, when it launched, like, if you look at every controller nowadays, it's based off of the eventual design of the Sony PlayStation 1 controller, which I would say was based off of the Super Nintendo controller. Just they obviously knew we're now in a 3D environment. We need something better for movement, which was analog sticks. Which I know, like, the N64 has a quote-unquote analog stick, but it's more of an 8-axis. It actually just has all the different directions. So it's not exactly as clear for the gameplay, I guess. Maybe that's a bad word, but not as precise. There we go. So if you look at all of the controllers now, like, I mean, the Sony PlayStation 1 to PlayStation 2 to PlayStation 3 really didn't change much. I mean, they added in 6-axis and fucking wireless. But, I mean, 1 to 2, what did they add? Did they even change it at all other than the rumble?
I don't think so.
Yeah, like, it goes from gray to black.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a testament how good that controller is. And as for the CDs, the PlayStation 1, if you go back and look at it now, it has the horrible laser on it. It cannot pick up shit. Like, if your game is even slightly scratched, it's not gonna fucking read it.
Yeah, the PlayStation 1 was such a finicky one, and there were so many different hardware variants of them too. Actually, back when I used to collect a lot more retro stuff, because I've trimmed down my collection considerably since we've last talked. For PlayStation 1 games, I remember specifically getting one of these consoles, and it was more plastic than metal for the laser, and it sucked.
Yeah.
I remember as a kid having to hit this thing and just praying things would work. The worst was having the game freeze when you're trying to save, corrupting your data.
Oh, yeah. Cause,
that was fun.
It was the first console that started using memory cards, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah, because everything at that point could be saved on the cart.
Except for maybe the Saturn, because I'm...
Yeah.
Even use
the... Well, I wonder how the Philip... Well, I guess there weren't that many CDI games or 3DO that had save features.
I don't think they had any save features on those.
But then again, even then, I'm not entirely sure, because I've only ever played those demos in, like, Radio Shack.
That being said, though, the Sony PlayStation also started fucking memory cards.
Which is a trend.
Portable, yeah, being able to take it to another place and just fucking do it again. Or, like, you could take it to your buddies and you could play your save file there.
Or forcing you to pay to save, basically.
That as well.
Which was such a pain in the ass. I hated that.
The games where it's like, oh, I don't have a save card. I gotta go to the store.
Yeah, gotta go to the store or leave your console on. I think it was Jay from the Game Chaser said he didn't have a save card when he was playing Final Fantasy VII, so he had to leave the console on.
Ugh.
And, yeah.
That's a long time for that console to be on.
And that thing used to heat up rather quickly. Now, I think I remember how I got my first PlayStation. A friend of mine had bought a new PlayStation 1, and I was gifted it. I'm pretty sure this is how it happened. And
he bought the little mini one.
Yeah, so I got his hand-me-down fat one. And I remember the games I played on it the most was Resident Evil 2. Fucking loved that game. Probably my favorite PlayStation 1 game. And then I remember the summer of 1996 or No, maybe it was 98. Yeah, I think it was 98. Because Final Fantasy came out in September of 97, I think. And anyway, Final Fantasy VII was a huge thing among me and all my friends. We used to talk about it all the time. And I just remember it just being a really fucking huge-ass deal. And I'm pretty sure I've told the story before. I've never been able to beat Emerald Weapon. I can beat every other motherfucker except him 20 goddamn years later, and I still can't beat the cocksucker.
Just wait for them to remake the game in HD, then you'll be able to do it.
Then I will fist fuck him with 20 years of built-up rage. I hate fuck that guy. But I remember just doing everything I could. I remember getting Knights of the Round. I remember having friends of mine. I'm like, here's my memory card. Do what you can. I even remember very early hex editing. So you could hack your like save games via PC, bring them back to a PlayStation, and you could have like super enhanced shit or have like weapons unlocked very, very, very early. Stuff like that.
You could do that also with the upgraded version of the Game Genie, the Game Shark that was for PlayStation.
Yep, which you could just plug into the back of the console.
Which was a really cool device because it actually had the ability to save, like, have your save files on that. And I actually, I generally had my save files always on that because I didn't have a memory card before I had the Game Shark. I never used the Game Shark, but my brother did. That's why we had it, because he likes to cheat. Like Final Fantasy VII, he would just put all his characters to level 99, maxed out materia and everything, just because he wanted to just play the story. Which, I mean, good for him, if that's how he wants to play his games, but kind of defeats the purpose of how a Final Fantasy is, of grinding and all that. But anyway.
But yeah, I remember just playing the crap out of this, and I remember this being one of the first video games that I actually cried at when Aeris died. But the best memory I have of the PlayStation 1 was actually via emulator.
What?
Yeah, I had a Compaq Presario. And for some reason, I don't think I had a PlayStation at this particular point in time. Or at least maybe it wasn't hooked up or I had it downstairs or whatever. I'm playing it on my PC. And I wish I could remember the name of the PlayStation emulator software. But I'm playing Resident Evil 3 Nemesis with a keyboard, which is a bit of a trick in and of itself. I didn't have a controller for my computer at this point, and I really loved Resident Evil. Like, seriously, I had a hard-on for this. And I remember there's one point near, probably around the half point of the game, you have to go into this power station, and Nemesis is chasing you. And you can choose to run down a hallway and electrify the fences. It'll kill all the zombies. You can run out that way, or you can choose to stand your ground and fight, I think. Either way, I remember the zombies jumping the fence. I didn't expect it coming, so I screamed. I was like, ah! And this is at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning at my like parents' house. They're like, what the fuck is your problem? Like, video game. And it was just one of the best experiences I had. And it was so funny because that's how immersive those games felt then. I remember thinking, you know what? Gaming's never going to get any better than this. And you know what? We all say that every console generation.
I've kind of stopped saying it recently because it's just like, you know, it's going to get better now. Everything's just getting like the graphics.
I also remember the first time in Resident Evil I built the super shotgun in Resident Evil 2, which is like you turn your little pissant little shitty shotgun into that huge Mossberg, and that fucker kicks. I remember having the rumble in the controller when that thing fired. And just so many good experiences. And that was something else, too. Because the games had larger storage capacity, you could technically have really long games, like Final Fantasy VII, which was 3 discs, Resident Evil 2, which was 2 discs. But the thing is, you could beat the game several different ways. There was Claire A, Leon B, Leon B, Claire A. And eventually, once you build up a save file long enough, you could unlock characters like Hunk, who was another character. You could even unlock a secret character called Tofu.
Tofu?
Yeah, you literally are a giant piece of tofu who has a knife.
Oh.
And you have to beat the game that way. It's fucking ridiculous. Yeah, and there's this really cool
carving vegetarianism into my enemies.
It was just so weird, but so cool. I also remember the good old days of PlayStation Magazine, and this is back when they used to give out demo discs in every issue. And I remember playing.
Well, that's how they made us buy everything.
That I remember playing the fuck out of Parappa the Rapper's first level for Chop Chop Master Onion, and that's all it was. There was like kick punch. It's all in the mind. And I remember playing the crap out of that. another big game that came out for the PlayStation, which is a huge franchise today, it was a resurrected Nintendo franchise, namely Metal Gear Solid. And when Metal Gear Solid...
Oh, yeah, it did start on Sony, didn't it?
Yep. And when this franchise came back with voice acting, with David Hayter voicing Solid Snake, and all those really iconic characters like Revolver Ocelot, Decoy Octopus, Psycho Mantis, and all that shit. It was just one of those gaming experiences that you had to experience. That's the thing. PlayStation created the gaming experiences for you. And it wasn't, and Nintendo and Sega did have their own things, such as, say, Zelda 64, or not Zelda 64, Ocarina
of
Time.
Yep,
you'd had Super Mario 64, and even for the Dreamcast, you get Sonic Adventure 2, you get Resident Evil Code Veronica, stuff like that. Like, really cool exclusive games.
Speaking of which console actually started Resident Evil then?
It was...
Because I know it was on all three.
Technically,
at least Resident Evil 2 was.
Technically, it was the PC.
Okay.
The PC started it. You could even argue it even goes back to the NES with a game called Sweet Home. So the PC
Good Capcom survival games, did you ever play Dino Crisis?
I did, actually. I played that.
I fucking love that game.
I played that for Rad last year. And I actually had a lot of fun with that. I think I actually played the first two. I haven't played I actually sold the third one. It was on the Xbox, and I hear it was crap anyway. So, Dinosaurs on a Spaceship.
I only knew of two. But yeah, speaking of like the whole being scared by zombies, that was like the first game where I actually was like, what the fuck? Because you had, there's so many parts in that game where you're walking down like a hallway and you're like, there's going to be a raptor jump through that fucking window. I know it. It's just leading up to it. And you walk past the window and you're like, oh, it didn't happen. And then as soon as you are calm again, it fucking jumps through the next window on you.
Or it drops out of the ceiling or something.
Yeah, it's always like, I always found that it was unexpected in that game because having played Resident Evil, you started to get a sense of where things are going to jump out at you. But as soon as you go into Dino Crisis, which made by Capcom still, it's like they knew that people had played Resident Evil and were like, you know what? Let's fuck with them. They think it's going to come from here. Let's fucking make it come from somewhere else.
See, one of my favorite things about that game is how the raptors or the bad guys could follow you from room to room. There was no escaping.
Yeah, you had to either fucking kill them or get the fuck away and, like, actually close a door or something.
Yeah, it
Whereas, like, Resident Evil, you could actually just go through and you'd be in a different room and they wouldn't be able to follow you.
Yeah, it was just like, ugh.
And the T-Rex, my God, I don't give a fuck what zombie there is. They will not scare me as much as that T-Rex. You know you're fucked if that T-Rex is coming at you. Like... And it's so satisfying near the end of the game when you get the grenade launcher to finally kill that asshole, because the whole game he's fucking with you. It's like Jurassic Park.
I remember Nemesis was...
You got nothing on a fucking T-Rex, dude.
Oh, I don't know. Nemesis, when you were low on ammo and low on health, and all you hear is stars, I was like, shit. And because there were points in that game where you have to run past him. And sure, if you can stand and fight, you'll get some pretty cool shit. Like, you can scavenge weapon parts off his body and stuff like that, which is worth it. But if you're not ready for that fight, you are done. And that's some of the most intense things I remember the original PlayStation giving me. One of the really cool things is that the PlayStation library had almost 8,000 games.
And it also started almost, like, any franchise you can think of now that you're in love with probably started on the Sony PlayStation, other than like Zelda and Mario.
I remember when they even did the updated Chrono Trigger for the like PlayStation.
Oh yeah, it was it had Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy IV.
I thought it was six, wasn't it? Was six?
No, it's Final Fantasy IV because there was another one called Final Fantasy. I think it was Final Fantasy Anthology and Final Fantasy. What was the other one?
I don't know. You're the Final Fantasy guy.
Well, one of them was 5 and 6, and the other one was Chrono Trigger and Final Fantasy 4. And God, I love that game.
Now, so good. One of the things that I liked about the PlayStation, which I always thought this was really, really, really weird, is I remember piracy on this console being ridiculously huge. And in my high school, we used to have a guy, I think his name was Brad. I'm pretty sure he's listening to this show right now, actually.
Is he getting a knife ready to kill you for whatever you're about to say?
I remember he loaned me his PlayStation that was modded. And it was always like a big secret at my high school. It was like, who's the mod chip guy? Where do you buy the mod chips? And this is when like eBay...
Hey guys, you got any pot? No, we got mod chips. Get the fuck out of here.
Exactly. That's what we need more. Fuck pot. Yeah, it was just a huge deal to have your PlayStation modded, because of what that meant at that time is you could play games that recorded on CD burners. I remember when CD burners used to be like $400 or $500 and zip drives were a thing. If anybody remembers those. And it was a big deal because you could find people in your school who were like, I know how to burn PlayStation games. You want Jedi Power Battles, man? You want Siphon Filter, man? You come with me. And
I can just imagine a guy with a trench coat just opening up his trench coat and he's just got a whole bunch of different fucking mods and games and stuff. And you're just like, oh, which one do I want today? Oh, man. I got to spend all my lunch money on this, man. Oh, no.
What are you buying? Like, it was so ridiculous. But I just remember that was the culture at the time, and it was so weird. I mean, in fact, I actually bought a PlayStation 2 years ago living up here in Shelburne from some random kid. The kid's in high school now, so I imagine he got this off his, like, older brother. I have a stack of burned games probably about as long as my arm. And I'm just remember thinking, wow, back in the day, this was like printing money. Like, like if you wanted a certain game, yeah, I'll give you a Final Fantasy VIII. How much? Oh, in the store, it's $60. I'll give it to you for $20. Shit like that. People were making money off of CDR images. And it's weird because PlayStation, they tried to have some copy protection, which I had no idea about. Like, now I'm just kind of reading this via the Wikipedia article, and it says Sony introduced a special wobble pressed into PlayStation formatted discs. As well, any PlayStation any disc that did not contain the wobble, such as CDR copies of standard pirated disc, could not boot on the console. However, the mod chip could get around that shit, and you could play games from like other regions, which would lead to like fan translations of really big games.
I actually had no idea that they had that kind of anti-pirate stuff.
Yeah, but it was just so weird to see so many people doing this, and just ordinary people who knew just how to solder. I mean, like, once again, like, shop classes at my high school. I remember people doing mods in there. Cause like,
well, you're just modding their PS1s in class?
Yeah, well, like...
Hey, what are you doing there? Modding my PS1? That's not our assignment. Is now.
Well, yeah, because at the time that demonstrated advanced electronics knowledge, and the schools didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Oh, probably not.
Which I always thought was, like I said, just kind of weird. Like I said, people were just doing this. That was their thing. And people were even doing this to develop their own games. In fact, I'm pretty sure there are still people developing PlayStation games on the old architecture, which is kind of cool. Like, hell, there's still people developing NES games right now, so whatever.
Oh, yeah, the homebrews are still fun.
Yeah, so many good things came out of the PlayStation 1 era. Although
I can name almost as many RPGs for this PlayStation 1 that everybody enjoys as like as almost as many as the Super Nintendo. Like Legend of Dragoon was on fucking PlayStation 1. It's never had a sequel that I know of. And it really needs either a remake or a sequel on one of the new consoles.
One
of the best RPGs.
I think it was Suikoden. Was that on the original PlayStation 1?
Suikoden.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's one of my favorite series. I have them all. They're amazing until like 4. I think some of the later ones are kind of going downhill.
another popular RPG I remember. A friend of mine had this. Vagrant Story. Basically,
it's Square Enix too.
Pretty much, the PlayStation was Square Enix for the longest time.
Oh yeah, like, and that's why I had a PlayStation and gave less of a shit about the N64 that we got later on, because it was like, okay, Ocarina of Time, great, but my Sony PlayStation has Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VIII, Final Fantasy IX, Final Fantasy Anthology, Final Fantasy Origins, that's what the other one was that I was thinking of, had Vagrant Story, Legend of Dragoon, Legend of Mana, fucking... so many good games. Oh, Digimon World. I know there was like 3 of them. I know that's a really popular one too. I think I only ever played the first one. And fucking all the Mega Man X's too. So many memories.
I remember the PlayStation. I gotta stop. I hate starting the show with the phrase "I remember." But there was a retarded amount of full motion video games for this console. Like, I remember games like, what the fuck was it? I think there's a game called D, which was kind of weird.
Give her the D?
Yeah, give her the D. There was less, although it was less gimmicky than, say, the Sega CD, which had shit like Night Trap and Phantasmagoria, but I still remember there being a number of really cheesy video sequences because they could pop it in, right? And it would look halfway decent. Actually, one piss poor game that was ported from PC to PlayStation, which that was another big deal too, is the original X-Files game. On the PC, it was like 7. 7 discs on the PC.
Holy fuck.
On the PlayStation, I think they reduced it to 4.
Oh.
Which was, it was still terrible. I love the X-Files game, just not the PlayStation 1 version.
Okay, I had to look this up, and the cover for D literally has a chick on it. So that's just that's funny all in itself. Which, if anyone has a copy of this game and doesn't want it or wants to sell it to me, I kind of want to start an internet meme from this where it's just a picture of me handing it to my girlfriend and I'll put give her the D.
That's funny.
Oh, the things we do to entertain ourselves, Dodd.
Yeah, it's true. I'm trying to think of other really big franchise. Actually, if it wasn't for the PlayStation, we wouldn't have the music games that we know today. We wouldn't have Bust a Move or DDR. We wouldn't have Jammy or Lammy or Parappa the Rapper. Which, those are franchises that need to make a comeback in a large way, by the way.
I don't think you know what Bust a Move is.
No. That's the game where it's like dancing, right?
No. Bust a Move
is
I'm
thinking of
Bust a Dragons.
Right, I'm thinking about Bust a Groove. Sorry. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, rhythm-based games started here. I remember...
We talked about this in our music episode. Everything pretty much started with, like, Parappa the Rappa and some of these other games that's either Sony or a little bit earlier. But yeah, we wouldn't have all that shit otherwise.
Also, there were, like, other games like...
Twisted Metal started on Sony.
I'm thinking of Gran Turismo.
Oh, yeah.
Something that really made the driving simulator mean something. I remember Gran Turismo 2, for the longest time, was one of the games to which all of the driving simulators were compared to. It had that great opening by the Cardigans, my favorite game. In fact, that's still one of my favorite songs of this very day. Came out of a video game. I'm trying to remember other really, really big games for that console. I'm really trying.
Monster Rancher?
I never played that, but I remember playing a lot. I remember one summer. dying. I remember people like my friends Brad, Thorsten, John. We used to play the wrestling games, like Raw and all that shit. Like Raw's War or SmackDown, whatever the hell it was. And playing created wrestlers on the console. And this is one of the weirder stories that I have. I remember we created a 400-pound black woman we called the Dominatrix. Fighting this 128-pound skinny white guy we called Conan O'Brien. And, and it was an awesome wrestling match. Now, here's the thing. At this time, internet is still dial-up. Cable internet is like easily 5-6 years down the road. So we're all sleeping in my friend's room at his little house in the country. Now, here's what I want you to picture. Thorsten's a pretty big dude, like me, probably like 200-something pounds. My friend Brad, probably rocking about the same. My friend John, like 100 and nothing. So, either way, this room is fairly packed. Brad and his girlfriend are sleeping in front of the door. I don't sleep, so I'm sitting up in a chair. I need to check my email, because even then, I needed to be connected all the time, because, you know, that's what I am. So, I have to dial
what
up...
email?
Yeah.
It was an email back then.
Oh, I was using it to hit on girls on ICQ because, ladies, I'm the lady killer. So anyway, I am using a fishing pole that he has in his room to move a mouse and tap out my password, which was 36 characters from across a room. I fucked up 4 times while this was happening.
Then when you finally did, it went and woke everybody up.
No, his mom picked up the phone. I couldn't get on the internet anyway.
Oh,
I'm like, you motherfucker.
Owned.
So I had to sit there and wait for people to get up. I actually at one point considered trying to squeeze my ass out a window so I could go pee. Thinking, oh my God, I don't want to wake people up. I don't want to piss my pants either, but I'm not getting out of here. Krusty needs out. And it was terrible. All thanks to that fucking PlayStation. But I just remember there were so many good times. Although, I can't remember any party games that were as fun as, say, GoldenEye on the PlayStation, like first-person shooters that really
I think this is kind of where the split came between Nintendo being, like, more friendly in the fact that, like, it had party games, it was more multiplayer, and Sony split off into the... lots of really good single player experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And like it, the wedge just got bigger and bigger as the newer consoles have come out. And that was the turning point, in my opinion. The Sega, well, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately,
Sonic 06.
It was a much more friendly experience for multiplayer on the N64, because I already had the 4 ports. So did PlayStation. Did PlayStation have 4 ports or 2 ports?
It only had 2, but you could get a thing called a multi-tap to be able to... I think it was only used in some of the basketball games to be able to have 4 or maybe even 8 players. I don't remember exactly, because I never had one, because I didn't play sports games.
I only ever remember playing... what the hell did I play? I think I played the NHL games, and that was pretty much about the long and short of it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, ultimately, the PlayStation 1, it had so many cool things. It was, like I said, it was a summer for me. Just playing Resident Evil, playing Final Fantasy, Metal Gear. So I actually remember with me and my friend John, when I had my first PlayStation, we sat there... because I was living on my own in 1999. I was like 17 at the time. I had my own apartment, and I remember staying up from Friday night to Sunday to about Saturday night, midnight, Sunday sort of thing, playing Metal Gear Solid so I could see it beat in like one sitting. But it was so worth it. Like, it was such a fun console, and I have so many fun memories of it. I mean, there are still PlayStation games I can even play today, and they're still fun.
Oh, yeah, like, I go back and play Suikoden every now and then. I play, Breath of Fire 3 was one of my favorite games of all times. I played it on PlayStation. It's just like the story with Final Fantasy III, how I rented it over and over and over. I did that with Breath of Fire 3, but people couldn't overwrite my save files because I had a fucking memory card for that. What other series came out on the PlayStation? I know there's lots that were missing, but...
I think Gran Turismo is one of the big ones. Metal Gear. This was like the Final Fantasy, like, kind of renaissance.
Well, I mean, yeah, they remade... like this. I think this is like one of the first consoles where they started remaking games already. Because like Final Fantasy 1 and 2 for Origins, there was the Anthology, there was... so you got 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6 all remade on the PlayStation 1. As well as getting 7, 8, and 9. Like, it probably has the most Final Fantasies on it out of every console.
Now, one of the things that I do love about the PlayStation 1 and its legacy is actually tied into the PSP and the PlayStation Vita.
What?
Basically, the PSP, it's a portable PlayStation 1. And the PlayStation Vita and the PSP, you could download PlayStation 1 games onto memory cards and play them.
Oh yeah,
thought was really cool. I love the fact that I've got I love the fact that I have Resident Evil 2 on my PSP Vita. Yeah. On my PSP Go, because I don't think all the games are compatible with the PSP Vita, but I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, it's really cool. Honestly, PlayStation 1, you had a fantastic run. The last game officially was published back in 2005. You can still find these things fairly cheap out there, looking at like yard sales, garage sales, flea markets.
They were mass produced so much to the point where, and the fact that like a PlayStation 2 will play all the PlayStation 1 games and PS3 actually will play PlayStation 1 games, but not PS2 games. The PlayStation 1 console, you can get them from anywhere from $5 to $10, like even from certain stores, because they're just so common and all the other consoles will play the games, right? In fact, if you have a PlayStation 3, go pick up your favorite PS1 games, because the eye on the PS3 will basically ignore half of the scratches on them, whereas the PlayStation 1 is just going to be like, nope, can't read it, I'm fucking retarded. It also has... one of the interesting things that I always found about the PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, and I believe the Dreamcast and Saturn, they all use the same power cord. It was all just a figure eight power cord. I think the PlayStation 2 then did like a figure eight /block, but that was just because they wanted to be unique, and it was the exact same fucking cord, I think. Might have a different voltage. Don't quote me on that. I mean, I don't want anybody to blow up their fucking PS2.
I kind of wish I had one of the PlayStation 1s that had the little LCD screen, on it.
Oh, that was just an attachment you could get.
Yeah, there was a combo pack that came out. I kind of wish I still had one, but I have two of the big PlayStation. I don't have a mini PS1. Whatever. I don't know whether you can mod that one. I imagine you probably could. Excuse me.
That was classy, Don.
It was charming as shit. But anyway, that is going to do it for us here on The Prototype.
I was planning to say the Zelda thing in the middle of the episode, but I completely forgot because we started reminiscing. So anyway, what we're going to have you guys do, like I said earlier, like and share the podcast. It'll be posted on our Facebook page, which if you don't know it, we're going to have it in our little comment section thingy. So if you didn't get here from the Facebook page, you'll be able to find it. And so like and share the podcast that we've posted. And then we're going to have you answer this question by sending a message to us on the Facebook page. Not like our individual Facebooks. Please send it to the Prototype Facebook page. Because this is for Zelda, what did the old man in the cave give you whenever he says, "It's dangerous outside, take this with you"? So answer that. It's 1 to 2, maybe a couple words. I don't know. I'm not going to spoil it. I mean, if you're a Zelda fan and you want Wind Waker, you're probably going to know this. If not, you know, I'm sure it's easy to find. So if you answer that, make sure you like and share the video as well. And we'll throw your name into a hat and we will draw it like the cutoff date. What should the cutoff date be here?
Let's give it 2 weeks. So let's say the 25th.
So after Con Bravo, though.
After Con Bravo.
Maybe what we'll do is at Con Bravo, we'll have somebody draw it there.
Maybe
I'll have a lot of fucking paper to carry around to do that.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll do it after. We'll announce it in one of the episodes that we do, maybe at Con Bravo.
Yeah, hopefully.
Because we're planning to do it with some special guests that are at Con Bravo. We won't say who it is, just in case it doesn't happen. Don't want to let anybody down.
Yes.
Sound good?
That's what we will do. All right, guys. So I guess for the prototype, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd.
And I've been Jamie JJ Johnston saying, see you guys at Con Bravo.
We're gonna play the game, the PlayStation all day, with Metal Gear Solid to Tekken 3, and from Omega Bells to Resident Evil. Just play for the fun, 'cause we got it going on. X-Files, all over the world. Come on.